Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Pocket Rocket podcast. It has been a little bit of a wait since the last time I was on the speakers to you guys here. With prep and everything else, I just took a little bit of time off. But I am back with a bang. And if you're watching my stories today, you would have seen that I have the goat of bikini, Ashley Coltwasser. Thank you so much for joining me on the podcast. How are you?
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm doing well. I'm just getting over a little bit of a sickness, which is very strange. It's very strange to get sick in the summertime, but I managed to do it at the beginning of like 12 weeks out of the prep. It's like, okay, time to, it's go time. And then it's like, I got sick. So I'm recovering. I just sound a little stuffy. But other than that, life is good. Living the dream.
I'm exactly the same. I went to a show at the weekend, the True Athlete here in the UK, the pro show, and I picked something up there and I've been sick all week. And I was thinking, please get my voice back before I record this with you. So, yes, I'm glad to hear that you're feeling a little bit better and that you're able to join me today. So as I touched upon before we got started, the idea here is just to learn a little bit about you and maybe for you to have a platform to talk to people about what you want to talk about. And it not be some sort of deep personal dive into your life, but just an opportunity for us to learn a little bit more about you as a person.
I love that. I love that. I'm excited.
I mean, it goes without saying, I will do an introduction. However, everyone knows who you are. So we have 3 Olympia wins under our belt.
Yes.
We have 41 pro win titles, which is 12 more than the closest person to you, being Dexter Jackson.
Yeah, that's pretty incredible. Although, every time people mention him with me, I always gotta say, apples and oranges, it's two different things. And to be fair, it's much harder as a bodybuilder to get that many wins than a bikini competitor. So just putting it out there, so don't come for me. But yes, for a bikini, that is the most.
Yeah, it's incredible feat. And I think, I mean, I've spoken to people about it before, and obviously you've spoken about it on podcasts and interviews and snippets here and there on your social media platforms. And I think it's really interesting that that has been your primary goal. You're like, that's how I want to be remembered. That's what my legacy will be. And it's so unique.
Yeah, I love it. You know, I think I think of competitions a little differently than most people. So I've been saying that, like, a lot of people focus their soul, like, their sole purpose of the season is to do a the Olympia. Mm-hmm. And they will prohibit from competing during the year just for that show, right? Mm-hmm. And I see why. It's like the Super Bowl of our sport. I look at it as like a final exam, the Olympia, right? So meaning that's all. It kind of determines your year, right? So whether you do, if you can do good all year, but if you fail the final exam, you kind of failed the year. That's how a lot of people look at it. But I see things differently. Although it is an incredible show, of course, it's the biggest show. There's other shows too that to me are just as meaningful. Like some of the best memories I had are at shows that weren't Olympia level, or some of, you know, the most great memories I've made or friends I've made at shows that weren't at the Olympia. So the Olympia, yes, it's important. It's the Super Bowl of the sport, but it also comes with a lot of stress too. A lot of stress. It's a lot of pressure. So although the Olympia is exciting, I wouldn't consider it to be fun, if that makes any sense. And I hope that doesn't come across the wrong way. I love doing it. It's exciting, but it's so much pressure.
Yeah.
That it can be very overwhelming. So what I'm trying to say is, of course, I want to do well at the Olympia, but I don't make that my sole focus of the entire year like some girls at the top do. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I want to have fun throughout the year and create great memories throughout the year. And Olympia is the cherry on top, but it's not ever.
Have you always thought about it like that? Or is that something that's changed as you've gone on through the years? For example, you know, your first Olympia, that must have been like.
Yeah, my first Olympia was such an unexpected victory. Like, I came in as such an underdog. No one is expecting me to win. I wasn't expecting to win. I was literally just happy to be there. Like, I it was such a shocking moment when I won. I even when they were doing the call outs, I was like, there's no way. I think they're just trying like a new technique this year. Maybe they're doing the call outs in reverse. Maybe first call is actually last call out, you know? You know, after winning three, it's like, okay, that's way more than I would have ever expected. But even when I was winning the Olympias, that wouldn't be my only show. So I think like, I feel like, how do I say it? I've been more open to competing more since I've already won those shows because I realize there's a lot of cool shows out there I can do. And, you know, with each show, it also gives me an awesome opportunity to travel and to be at a place I've never been before. So I didn't want to just like spend my whole season just stuck here and just not being able to experience these great memories just because I want to only focus on one show. And I think sometimes people are like, if she would just take the year off, maybe she'd do better at the Olympia. And it's like, it's a little frustrating to have to explain myself because going back, it's not everything. It's a great show. And believe me, I would love to win it again. Oh God, I would love that. But I don't want to gamble my whole year just to hope and pray I do better at the Olympia when maybe I won't. How bad would that suck if I just took the whole year off and maybe I did improve a little bit, but you know how bikini is. It's all over the place sometimes. What if I did even worse? That would be such a foolish thing on my part. So I'm like, you know what? I love competing. I'm healthy. It keeps me motivated. It keeps me in shape. It keeps me goal-driven. So why not compete throughout the year? You know, as long as my body cooperates, I'm gonna do it. If it's not cooperating, that's when I gotta be like, okay, time to take a break. But you know, I love competing and it doesn't seem to hurt me that much to compete a few more times throughout the year, you know?
Yeah. I've heard you and Adam actually talking about this exact topic. Over the years I've heard loads of people say, but she never takes an off season. And I think like from my perspective, I've probably thought in the past, God, she's gone all of these years. I think the only, I've made some notes here, I think the only year you took off was 2017. And it does seem, because if you took, I don't know, an amateur or an early rookie pro, they would take time off, but I guess that's because they're looking to build. Whereas where you're at, arguably, if you put on too much tissue, then you'd start getting negative feedback like, oh, you're actually too much for the class now.
Yeah, and I see that happen. I do see girls taking all year off, and sometimes they don't do as good. But yeah, going back to what you said, like if you're a newbie, like competitor, you have newbie gains to make. So you can make a lot of progress by taking a big off season. But for me, not so much. If I make improvements, they're going to be so slight. But incredibly, I'm still making them. These little slight improvements. But I think a lot of people see it as I'm not making improvements because when I compete frequently, just like if you were to see your own progress photos, like and you send to your coach, if you see week to week, you're not going to see big changes. But if you take like a zoom back, like year to year, you'll see, okay, I have made improvements. You know, since I am pretty experienced as a competitor and I was an athlete my entire life, I'm not going to pack on muscle. Like people think that like, if I take a year off, I'm just going to blow up in muscle. Like that's not going to happen. You know, everything's going to be super slight. And to be honest, you know, I used to be a collegiate track athlete and people hate me when I say this. In college, the track training was 10 times harder than bikini. Yeah. And I had to do track meets every single weekend, right? The only thing that I would say it is harder about this sport is the diet. The diet wasn't like this in college track, but I would be 2 days, I would be doing 400 meter repeats till I freaking threw up. So to me, this is just like a walk in the park when I train for bikini. Like, wow, I didn't throw up after my workout. That's great, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, I think keeping my competing throughout the year, it does kind of, there is an advantage that people don't want to talk about. It keeps me more in shape, right? Whereas like, I don't have to lose like 20 pounds to prep for a show. You know, I might have to lose like 5. And it's much easier on my body if you look at it from that perspective than you know, the other way. So I think we all have a technique that works for us. Like maybe you're a person that likes to take longer off seasons and maybe you want to fluctuate more and that's good for you mentally. And maybe your body is equipped for that. I don't think I'm one of those people though. I like to say like my physique, it's hard to gain, but hard to lose. I'm really good at maintaining, but it's not like my metabolism's so fast that like once I start dieting, it's gonna fall off, you know? So I think for me personally, this technique works for my body type. Mm-hmm. So I've just been rolling with it.
I mean, if it's not broke, don't fix it, right?
Right. Yeah. And I do take mini breaks here and there. I think that's another misconception. I take mini breaks. Like even after this last show in Vancouver, I took a whole week off. I didn't even see a gym. I didn't go to gym. I kind of just intuitively eat, you know, so I allow myself to rest and I do take little mini off seasons. Yeah. So it's not like I'm grinding myself to the ground every single week either, you know?
I was going to ask about this actually, because I don't think that's a side of you that we see very often and probably get snippets here and there, but that time when you're like, I'm intuitively eating, I'm doing things with friends and family, and how do you balance that? Because I think there'll be a lot of people listening to this that have come out of preps, whether you've been doing it one prep or 10 preps. We see people struggling with that transition from I've been tracking every single thing I've been eating to now your coach goes to you, if you're hungry, have something. If you're not, don't. Like, just intuitively enjoy some time. How do you handle that?
So I think one thing about myself that is an advantage is I'm not a foodie. And I know that sounds, and I'm not saying enjoy food, like, oh, it's great, but I like my prep food. Like I'm so satisfied. Like I don't crave bad stuff too often. However, it didn't used to be that way. I used to be obsessed with food. I used to like wait for the ads every Sunday with the grocery store and I'd circle all the food I want. All I could think about was my cheat meal after the show. Like, I've trained my taste buds to enjoy what I have, honestly. So I think that's very helpful to, that's why I think I'm a good candidate to intuitive eat when I'm like taking little breaks, because I don't really crave that kind of bad food. And I don't think that's for everyone. So it's just something you have to be aware of. Mm. But also as far as like balancing, like, you know, the extremes of being in prep versus being normal, I'm a very like, my activities I enjoy doing are very mundane. I like to do relaxing activities. I like to have spa days. I like to go grocery shopping. I like to cook, you know, like really plain stuff. And I think I know why. It's because it's a big contrast from competing. Yeah. Because when I'm competing, that is exciting. Like I get to travel wherever I want, anywhere in the world, like at any time, you know? So I get so much adrenaline and excitement from competing that to contrast it is like super relaxing, chill. Yeah. Like this is my chill day. I'm in my glasses. I'm like still in my pajamas, you know, but it's just like a good contrast. So for me, I don't really seek more excitement. Like, it's not like I'm going to go skydiving on my days off, you know?
Yeah.
I just want to chill. And to me, that's satisfying. I love this. I think a lot of people get wrapped up into the culture of, oh, I got to go out on the weekends and have beer and pizza because their friends are peer pressuring them into it. But I would also argue, I'm like, you can have your beer and pizza, but I don't know about you, but meeting my goals is so much more satisfying to me. And being able to be a successful athlete and to be able to potentially inspire others, like that's more meaningful to me than going out for pizza and beer on the Saturday, just because my friends are pressuring me to do that. So the people I surround myself are very like-minded like myself, and we all get it. We're on the same page.
It wouldn't be beer and pizza, but I like you. I really like my meals, whether I'm in prep or off season. And something I've found is post-show,
oh no, you're freezing. Freezing.
Oh no.
Oh, it froze there. Okay, now you're good. You're good now. Sorry.
So, oh, no, no, that's my fault.
Oh, yeah. No, it's, I think the last thing you said was just like you, I enjoy my meals, whether I'm in season or off. Oh, it's freezing.
You saying
again.
About.
Oh, it keeps freezing.
This is not going. I'm going to have to edit this.
Okay. All right.
Are we back?
Okay, we're good now. Okay.
We're good. Okay. So yeah, I enjoy my food regardless of prep or off season, and I don't tend to mix it up too much. I love veg, for example, and I miss colourful veg and big salads and things like that. And I imagine you're quite similar. So maybe it's not pizza and beer, but maybe it's like going for a really nice, I don't know, we have like roast dinners here in the UK. So you have like your meat and your veg and your potatoes, and it's very much similar to what you'd be having anyway, but just having the freedom to say, I want a bit more veg, or I want a couple more potatoes,
right?
Or I'm not going to have a meal earlier on, and I'm still going to eat the same thing, just maybe a bigger portion, because then I can be with family and friends.
Yeah, you know, I think people are like overly obsessed, I think, with like measurements and stuff. And you know, a fun fact about me, I've not weighed anything since 2018. My batteries and my food scale's been broke since 2000. I'm like, it looks good enough, fine. So I think a lot of people over like obsess about that. And if you're good at eyeballing things, I think that takes you a long way. Cause I'm definitely not a math person. I hate the adding numbers and everything. So for me, I'm just like, I don't think people realize I'm not as rigid as people think when it comes to like food.
That's wild. Like, you don't weigh your food.
No.
Wow. So basically what we're saying right here is the goat of bikini is saying you can get shredded without weighing your food.
Yes, but I'd also say you have to be good at eyeballing it. But I mean, yeah, I don't. I can't say that's going to work for everyone, though. So disclaimer, don't do what I do. I don't know. But yeah, I don't weigh things. If it's like a measuring cup, I'll be like, okay, it's a half measuring cup, I'll just use that. Yeah. But I'm not gonna weigh my meat. And honestly, I don't even veggies, I just handfuls. I don't measure those either. It's like whatever, you know. I've never seen anybody get like fluffy off of extra kale or whatever. So, you know, whatever. I don't weigh that. I don't measure that.
No, that's fair enough. I'm exactly the same. I don't weigh veg. I'm like, veg is veg. Just enjoy it. It'll fill you up. Just don't worry about it. So, coming then on to the Olympia this year, obviously we're all very, very excited about. How are you feeling going into it?
I feel good. I mean, you know, I don't think I'll compete before the Olympia, so I think I'm just gonna make that my next show. I might do one show like maybe right before, I'm not sure. But the reason being is like the last four shows, I feel like I nailed it. So another aspect of why I compete frequently is because I'm always learning and I'm always testing things, right? Mm-hmm. Meaning testing new suit color, testing this. And some people might not even notice. I don't expect anyone to notice, but I do. I try new peak week techniques and new little things with my posing. So I'm always trying things out in the regular season. And the last show, I'm not sure if you've ever experienced it. You feel like you've nailed it so much that you're like, I'm good with this. I'm good. So my mindset, especially from the last show in Vancouver, I'm like, oh, I think I got it. I think I know what I want to do. So this one's more of a strategy kind of thing for me mentally, because I'm like, I feel so confident and good and satisfied with what I just accomplished that I'm like, I don't want to risk that. Because one thing people don't, I guess, consider is that, you know, when you're going into Olympia, you don't want to like leave off on a bad note. You know, you want to leave off on the best note you possibly can, not only for your own confidence and, you know, mental like state, but, you know, as far as like judges too, it's a good look, right? That's it. Okay. I did good there. Yeah. So for me, strategy wise, I might just want to wait till Olympia to compete again, but I feel great. I feel like I've learned a lot in this season, and I can't wait to show it off at the Olympia.
Amazing. Yeah, I've heard you and Adam talk about, because I listen to your podcast, I've heard you guys talking about how you do all of these shows so that you can play with peaks. So that if he's like, let's chuck a couple of gallons of water in, let's see, like, what's it going to look like if we eat up a little bit more? What's how are we going to fill you up a little bit? And I think, like, some of my favorite looks that you've brought are those ones where you are a little bit fuller, and it's like the roundness of the glutes, and you say, like, oh, I don't need a massive off season, and that's just testament to that. You play around with the peaking, you bring an entirely different look.
Exactly. And I don't know how some girls do it. They'll only compete like once before Olympia, and sometimes not at all. And it's like, I don't know, I would feel so rusty, you know what I mean? On stage, like, I would just feel so rusty and unsure that, like, oh, I hope I'm doing the right thing. Cause, you know, the sport changes. And if you're not up to date with it, it's like you get left in the dust. So I don't know. Like I said, we all have our techniques and things that work for us. Yeah. I try to do the best with what works for my body. So no diss at anyone that wants to take a very long off season, but I just don't see myself wanting to do that.
Yeah. And I think as well, like, because you are so frequently on stage, you get to see yourself against people.
Exactly. Exactly.
Which if you went in maybe doing one show or no shows, you wouldn't have stood up against the other girls, and you'd be just judging it from what you see online and kind of what you see of yourself.
Exactly. I agree. And, you know, it's one thing to see your photo compared to another girl's photo, but it's not the same unless you're on stage with them, you know? And I think people are just like, well, why can't you do like a fake peak week or a mock peak week? And I'm like, I can't get my mindset to do an actual peak week if I'm not really competing. If I'm just going to do a fake peak week, I might as well just compete, you know? Yeah. And same thing with like posing too. You can pose all day in front of your iPhone. You can pose all day in front of your coach, but the best practice you could possibly get is on stage in front of the judges, because the element of the nerves kicks in and the adrenaline. Mm. I don't get adrenaline from posing in front of my coach. Like, I don't get nervous, you know? So it's a totally different scenario. And I don't know. I definitely need to be on stage a few times to get that rust off.
Yeah. That was actually a question that I had from one of the girls on my story, was about posing and tips to working and tweaking posing, because yours has evolved so much through time. And I think she was kind of looking for your tips and tricks around that.
Yes. Okay. So the biggest tip I would give is, if you're going to change your things with posing, do it little by little, because I'm telling you what, one time I did a show where I just like completely like changed my routine, and it was the weirdest feeling ever. It's like I got on stage and I was like, it's almost like I forgot everything, just because I tried to overwhelm myself with changing too many things at once. So lesson learned. And after that, I was just like, you know what, this show, I'm going to try something a little different. I'll try spinning this way instead of that way. Very subtle movements. But I would also say, don't try to be someone you're not. On stage, you might see your favorite bikini competitor and be like, oh my God, I love that posing, but it doesn't fit your personality. I also think that girls really overthink the posing, in the sense that like they will add in so many movements, so many transitions, and so many pieces of flair that it's not really showing their best. They're just like giving a show to the judges. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I've heard judges say multiple times, like, don't feel the need to make your routine super long. We're there to see your best poses, because the longer you're on stage, the more opportunity they can see the poses that aren't as good. They can see your flaws. But also keep in mind too, you know, the judges are there graciously giving their time, and, you know, they don't want to see you do the same pose five times, you know? Yeah. It's kind of like, get to the point.
So bikini is back and front at the end of the day.
Exactly. And it's like, you know, who wants to see a girl on stage for two minutes and doing like the same pose five times? If I were a judge, and I can't speak on their behalf, but if I were a judge, I'd be like, okay, you're suddenly not as appealing as I initially thought when you walked out, just because it's like, get to the point, you know? Yeah. So I think, you know, keeping it simple is very underrated, but keep it clean, you know? Yeah. I'm kind of a person that does it a little more basic. I try to keep it clean though. But yeah, that's my tips.
Hey, amazing. And how do you feel like, as a seasoned competitor, going show to show and obtaining that feedback? Now, I know Adam's opinion on some judges' feedback. He speaks very openly about that. But is it feedback something you look for, or do you just go, I'm going to listen to Adam, whatever? Or are there specific judges that you're like, if I'm in front of them, I want to know what they think?
Right. No, I want to hear what every judge has to say. And I even say, be harsh. I don't want you to hold back, you know, because I'm not going to get my feelings hurt at all. But what I like to do is I'll get judges' feedback and see if there's any common, like, consistent things they're saying. Like, if the judges are all kind of pointing to one thing, I'm like, okay, that's definitely something I need to work on. Now, bikini is a little tricky to judge, I know, because it is a little bit more opinionated than most divisions. But if one judge is saying one thing and the other judge is saying the same, then that's probably something I should work on because it's definitely becoming noticeable to multiple people. So, you know, sometimes there's that one-off piece of feedback that you're like, I've never heard that before. Interesting. And it's something that you should definitely be aware of. But if you're getting the same feedback over and over, that's definitely something that's stand out and you should definitely try to improve on.
Yeah, I completely agree. Do you, just a question from me, I'll come back to the ones from everyone else in a moment, but it was just something you said about like the judges' feedback and listening to what they're saying, and then sometimes you don't. Do you ever kind of watch a show, whether you're in it or not, and then kind of look at the girls that are there and like, okay, well, I like what she did there, or I like the color of that suit, I like the way she did her hair, I like. And then try and pull those things into your own, or do you just go, that's their thing, this is my thing, I'm gonna do me?
I do that. Yeah, sometimes I'll see like a little something something and I'll get a little inspiration from it. I won't directly copy it, but I'm like, oh, I like what she did there. And you know what I think is also very helpful too, and I've been catching myself doing this, just watching a lot of posing. And I think like once you keep seeing it over and over, that helps you in your mind develop something that resonates with yourself, right? So that's something to practice with bikini when you're not necessarily physically practicing it. It's just watching it over and over, different routines, and you could start to pick up with your own eye things that they did good, things that they didn't do good, and apply it to yourself.
I think that's a pretty solid advice there. Couple more questions that we've got from the girls. What keeps you going after 41 wins, which is ridiculous? How do you get better?
I'm always looking to improve, obviously. I think that I never want to get too comfortable, and that pushes me to keep going. And that's when we're referring to like physique changes or improvements, I should say, or any kind of improvements. I never get comfortable because I know that in this sport, it is so volatile. If you're off by even a little bit, or if you're behind a little bit, it can be the difference between first and eighth place. So I never like think, whoa, like this is a done deal. When I go into a show, I always have to approach it like I don't know who's competing, and they could be on their A game 100%, and maybe if I'm a little off, they can get me. So even if it's people that I've heard of or not heard of, it's anybody's game in bikini. So that always keeps me like in the back of my mind, that keeps me working hard. And as far as like winning, I never want to get used to that feeling either. Like, because here's the thing, if you start to have expectations of yourself to win, like when you do win, it's not going to be as exciting. So I always like to say, even though it's my 41st win, it still feels like my first because I never allow myself to get comfortable with it. Because I realize in the sport, man, it's so tough and everyone's so close. So I'm very grateful every time I win. I go in thinking, like, you know what? I did my best I could. I'm proud of my package. Let's see what happens. And yeah, I appreciate every single win I get. I never just brush it off like, oh, yeah, that was another one. I'm very excited. Every time I win, I'm genuinely like surprised. So, yeah, that's the way I like to think of it.
Yeah, we can see that when you celebrate and you're like, it never looks forced. you're genuinely like, oh my God, thank you so much. And it's really nice because sometimes you see people win, and this is no like slander on anyone, but sometimes you see people win and they either just kind of like, meh, or they kind of do that, yes, like it's all about me, and they don't thank the people around them or congratulate the people around them. They don't thank the people that made it possible. So yeah, I think that's true. That comes through very much in the way that you kind of, you take that check, you take that crown, you take that first place, you take whatever it may be.
Yeah, I think like, yeah, just like you said, like sometimes the more success you get, it's funny because I can see it with people, whether it be a sponsorship, whether it be a win, you know, their first win or their first sponsorship, they were super grateful.
Mm.
And as it becomes more frequent, it becomes to greed. So gratitude becomes to greed. And I never want that to happen to me. So I'm very like aware that I am so blessed to be in the position I am in. I'm so lucky. And I never want to forget that feeling of my first sponsorship or my first win and what it took to get there and who helped me along the way. And, you know, just live in the moment for real. It's pretty incredible. And that can even apply to people that, you know, even if you're not in the winning circle or whatever, the fact that you are healthy enough to be able to compete, even if you got like third call out or whatever, the fact mm-hmm. that you look the way you do, so many people wish they could do that. You know, mm-hmm. you are a very small percentile of the population.
Mm-hmm.
So whether you win, whether you got last, whether you got third call out, whatever the case may be, you are still doing better than most people. And mm-hmm. a lot of people wish they could do what you could do, but maybe they can't because of their genetics. Maybe they can't because of their financial situation or even just their health. A lot of people aren't even healthy enough to be able to do that, you know? And I think even when we get like a little injury or something, it quickly reminds us like, whoa, like I had it good when I was able to be 100%.
Yeah.
So see, you're 100% on stage. That's incredible. Like you're healthy enough to do amazing things to get your body to look the way it does. That's awesome.
Yeah. Do you know what? It's funny you say that. I was listening to a massive podcast here in the UK. I think it's over in the States as well. Diary of a CEO.
Okay.
Chap called Stephen Bartlett. But he interviews these amazing people from all walks of life. And he had a girl on there who lost her legs because of toxic shock syndrome. And she was an athlete and she kind of all of a sudden lost her legs. And I was walking along the street listening to it, just getting my steps. And I looked down at my legs and I was like, I'm taking for granted the fact that I can do steps. Like some days you don't want to do them. And actually, I'm listening to this girl that one morning woke up, went about her day, fell asleep and woke up in hospital and her legs were being taken off. And you forget that, don't you? You forget that we are not just the 1%, but like the 1% of the healthy.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. You got to be grateful. We're doing pretty good for ourselves, you know?
We are indeed. You definitely are. So that leads me on nicely to the last question that I want to kind of run through. I'm conscious of time with you here. That you are one of the few athletes that have stood the test of time in the sport. Mm-hmm. And have you thought about what the future post-competing may look like for you?
Yeah, so I think, you know, a lot of people want to have their plans laid out and know exactly what they want to do. I'm against that because listen, I'm living in the moment right now. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm not worried about the future. I have it like financially, I'm good to go. And I know whatever I plan on doing, I have a really good work ethic. And the fact if I compete or not, isn't going to take that away. Like I have the mindset of being whatever I want to be to an extent, you know? But I think once you start to overthink and overanalyze your future, it ruins the present, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, I love what I'm doing right now, and I'm sure whatever I do in the future is going to be related to competition or health and fitness, but I can't tell you exactly what I'm going to do. But I can say I don't feel like I'm going to stop anytime soon. I feel like a lot of people think, like, because I've won so much that I'm like, oh yeah, well, I'm good with that. I'm like, no, I'm just getting started. That's like my saying, I'm just getting started. Like, I did stand the test of time, but at the same note, I'm not even like a master competitor yet. So yeah. It's, you know, I think when people mentioned with Dexter, you know, he's older. So like people think like that's in bikini, you can gather more wins in a year. Right. Yeah. But I don't feel like I'm slowing down. I'm getting better every year when it comes to that. And my mindset is really good right now. So yeah, I guess what I'm trying to say is, I don't want to overanalyze the future when I'm enjoying the present so much.
Yeah. I think as well, if you look back at when you first started in this, when you first started, you weren't thinking, what am I going to be doing in 10, 12 years? Am I still going to be in the sport? You were just enjoying it for what it was.
Yeah, absolutely. I, you know, when I first started, my goal was just to win one pro show. I never thought I was going to win 41 of them. So
yeah,
you never, you know, that's the thing too. You never know where life's going to take you. So why try to even plan every little detail out? I never thought I could make a career of this, and I did. So, you know, just make good choices along the way, take great opportunities as they come, but don't start to overthink, you know. I'm not a believer in that. So as long as I'm doing the good things and I'm, you know, being smart about my money and everything, I'll be fine.
Work hard and enjoy it, and whatever will be, will be.
Exactly.
So I have two questions I end every single episode of the podcast on. I ask the same people, the same question to every person I speak to. So looking back, knowing what you know now, is there anything that you would change if you could?
Yes. I took a break in 2017, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
I fell victim of, oh, you got to have balance and be a normal person and come out on the weekends. And I wanted to give this normal person life a go because I wasn't a normal person, I guess, for years. And then I realized, yeah, that didn't make me happy. Why do I want to do that? So I regret taking 2017 off. I should have just did what I like. You know, I think so the pressure got to me a little bit. When you win three times in a row, the burden of expectation definitely creeps upon you. Mm-hmm. And it was tough for me. But yeah, that. And then I also, like I said, I fell victim to just like, oh, well, why can't you just enjoy life during the whole time I was enjoying life? Like, and now you better believe I'm not going to take that for granted. So very tough learning lesson, but I do regret taking 2017 off.
That's fair enough. And I think that's the whole point, isn't it? Like, it's knowing what you know now. And
yeah,
if this makes you happy, then not doing it was just trying to keep everyone else happy. And it's like,
exactly. Well,
screw yeah, everyone else. It's about me and my own happiness. You get one life.
Yeah. I mean, people talked it up, though, like it was the next best thing. Just be a normal person. And I sure was. I took the whole year, barely worked out or anything. I don't like being a normal person, so you can call me weird or obsessed. I don't care. I'm having the time of my freaking life and wouldn't have it any other way. And I wouldn't switch my life with anybody else's either. So I like what I do. It's fun.
Good. Good. And you are known as the most pro wins in history, 3-time Miss Olympia. But what would you like to be remembered for?
A freaking legend. And I know that's not nothing specific, but I don't want to be forgotten.
Yeah, I don't think that anyone in even 100 years, 200-300 years is going to forget you. I mean, you've made history is an understatement.
Well, I'm gonna make sure that doesn't happen. So I got some more work to do to be a legend, but that is my ultimate goal, is just to be a freaking legend.
Look, I mean, it's only been, 12 years, something like that? 11 years?
12, I think, something. Oh. I'll ask her.
12 years, 41 wins. We could go for another 12. You could get to 100.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how long my body holds up. It's not breaking down anytime soon, though, but we'll see how long it holds up.
There we go. Well, thank you so, so much for making the time to speak to me today. I've loved chatting to you. You are exactly the same person on podcasts. I met you obviously at the Arnold's as well, as you are on social media. And it's just really refreshing to speak to someone who is quite authentically themselves, and who you say you are, who you give out that you are, that's just you. And it is really, really refreshing. So I know that you have a million followers, quite literally, but if anyone isn't following you and they want to know where to find you, where can they find all your social media links and everything else?
So on Instagram, I'm Ashley K Fit, and then YouTube, it's Ashley Kaltwasser.
Amazing. And TikTok? Are we on TikTok?
Oh yeah, Ashley K Fit 6. Man, I hate TikTok though. TikTok, like you post your abs or something, they're like, nope, can't have it. I don't like TikTok.
But that's the way that Instagram's going.
I need to be better at posting on it.
That's it. Just before we go, as you're talking about like getting reported on TikTok, have you been reported on Instagram?
Oh, I'm sure. I don't know.
There's this account status thing, and it's going wild at the moment, and everyone is being reported.
Really? Yeah. Oh, how do I check?
I'll send you a DM afterwards and you can have a look. Amazing. Well, thank you very much for speaking to me. Everyone go follow Ashley, wish her well for the Olympia this year. I'm very excited to see you on that stage again.
Thank you.